Welcome back. You're listening to This Week with Justin McCarthy on RTE Radio 1. And we join you today from our studio in Dublin for the latest in our European Parliament election discussions. Today we're focusing on the Dublin constituency. There are 23 candidates contesting the four seats in this constituency. We'll hear from more of the candidates in a report on the constituency later in the programme. But with me now in the studio are Barry Andrews from Fianna Fáil, Lynn Boylan from Sinn Féin, Niall Boylan from Independent Ireland, Sinead Gibney from the Social Democrats and Éan O'Riordan from the Labour Party. I'd like to thank you all for coming in to talk to us today. And we're going to start our discussion today on the subject of migration. Lynn Boylan, Ireland is signing up to the EU Migration Pact, part of which promises to speed up applications, appeals and removal decisions for international protection applicants. It promises to have decisions made within 3 months. Why are you opposed to a process which promises faster decision making?
Well, there's nothing stopping the government from speeding up the decision making at the moment. They could double the staff numbers in terms of the IPAS system. What we believe is that the Migration Pact is handing over sovereignty. Ireland has a unique relationship with the Common Travel Area in Britain. We need to have the flexibility and be able to make decisions that are in Ireland's interest.
We hand over sovereignty, or the EU sets around 80% of is the basis for around 80% of the laws in this country. So what's different about this?
Well, it's not always a good thing, Justin, that 80% of the laws are made at an EU level. Where it makes sense to cooperate at an EU level, Sinn Féin will support it, but where it doesn't and it's not in Ireland's interest, we're not going to apologise for not being nodding dogs in Europe and just agreeing to everything that's proposed from there. We believe Ireland is an island. It shares a border with its nearest neighbour that's not a member of the EU, and therefore it is much better in Ireland's interests to be able to have the flexibility and the sovereignty to make decisions. And also there's concerns around the Migration Pact in terms of human rights as well.
And on that border that you talk about, we read in the Sunday Independent today that Gardaí are mounting weekly checks now on the Dublin to Belfast road with a view to stopping people who don't have valid travel documents from entering the state. We know that a number of people have been sent back to Northern Ireland. Do you support the decision of the Gardaí to send people back to Belfast?
The reality is, Justin, that the Gardaí and the PSNI have been cooperating on the common travel area for years. We're 25 years into a peace process, so that's been ongoing. It is important that that continues to happen. But what's the best interests of Ireland would be if there was no border, if we were able to have a united Ireland.
But there is, and I just want to be clear, do you support the Gardaí's actions if they're sending people on the train back to Belfast?
We need a fair, efficient and enforced migration policy. We need a rules-based system. So regardless of how people arrive onto the island, the rules have to be enforced, and it has to be humane. It has to be common sense, common decency. But rules are rules. But let's face the reality is that we have a very, very porous border, which is great. People, you know, go to work on one side of it. They go to school. They go to their doctors. That's the nature of it. We saw that in Brexit, how many different crossings there are. So if we really want to address this issue, we need to have a proper diplomatic relationship with our British counterparts, because you're not going to be able to completely police the Irish border.
Niall Boylan, you've been saying in this campaign that your own campaign is one against the establishment, that you're a non-establishment candidate. Mm-hmm. But you're not really saying anything different to the establishment in relation to migration, are you? You want faster processing times, is that right?
Well, the difference between me and...
You want faster processing times on migration decisions, same as everybody else. You also have no problem with offering asylum to people who are fleeing war or tyranny, isn't that right?
Absolutely. I have no problem at all.
So that's the same as the other candidates
Can we break it down into three different things? I mean, we have people who come here as refugees, genuinely from war. I mean, we've seen that recently with people from Ukraine. We also have people come from countries where they flee persecution. And if people are genuine asylum seekers, we should support people. I've always said that. But where we have illegal migration, and we don't seem to want to use the word illegal migration, are people that are coming from safe countries as economic migrants. And I was laughed at the other day by my colleagues here, not all of them, obviously AO wasn't here at the time, when I mentioned that the majority of people that are coming to this country currently at this moment in time are not genuine asylum seekers. Many of them are coming from safe countries through the United Kingdom, in the Minister's own words.
It's important to draw that distinction. You're entitled to apply for asylum, but when you come here
and you have no documentation and you have no form of identification, you are entering the country illegally. That is the law.
But you are now, entitled, because I was interrupted by Barry, so I want to finish what I said, because Barry laughed at me the other day when I said use the word majority.
Because we do need to clarify that people who come into this country, regardless of whether they have travel documents or not, are entitled to apply for asylum under the international
Policy. When they enter the country with no documentation, no passport, they are entering the country illegally under
That's
the legislation
true.
Under the legislation of this law. Well, then why are people being prosecuted currently at the moment?
You made a point, you said that's illegal, it is not illegal now, and that is absolutely clear.
Okay, well, for the majority of people in this country, they believe it is illegal migration, and if people are entering this country, okay, the point I want to make, let's hear Niall make his point, can I just say something, and this is what I mean, Lynn spoke for 5 minutes there, uninterrupted. And yet, I have spoken, and every single time I say something, you all interrupt me.
But I don't get to finish a point.
At the end of it, if you want to come back and say something to me, that's fine. That's your privilege, right? But let me finish what I'm actually saying.
Okay, this is the problem with the government and the establishment. You will be picked up if they haven't listened to the referendum.
Make your point. They don't listen to the people. Okay. And they don't listen. And that's what I'm listening to people. I've been doing it for 30 years.
Okay, make your point then.
Okay, the point I'm making is when we come to people who are leaving safe countries and they're coming to Ireland as economic migrants, which is the majority, according to the figures only last week from IPAS and from Roderick O'Gorman, that he said 60%. I reckon that's a conservative guess, by the way, 60%. But anyway, that figure, we need to have a proper plan in place. And when it comes to people who are coming here, and I'm going to use the word illegally, you might like it, but I'm going to use the word illegally, we need to have what I call the triple D plan, which is deterrent, detention and deportation. And that's the words I'm using, the triple D plan. We need to have a deterrent to stop people abusing our system.
And what's the deterrent?
The deterrent, well, similar to the United Kingdom, they have a deterrent which is Rwanda. I'm not going to suggest people should be sent to Rwanda because most people won't be sent to Rwanda, but it is a deterrent. And we can see that here in Ireland because the people who are getting letters in the United Kingdom saying they may be sent to Rwanda are immediately being warned. And I had spoke to a barrister on my podcast recently who told me they're getting letters and his advice to his clients is go to Ireland.
What's your deterrent then?
Our deterrent is that we have a robust system that we actually enforce the law.
Which is what everybody else is saying.
Hold on, everybody else isn't saying that. Because the people around the table here, what they're essentially saying is, we need to get people into accommodation quicker. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the majority of those people who are coming here, who are not fleeing war, who are coming from safe countries, they're economic migrants, they need to be deported. Right.
Eoghan Reardon, on the 1st of May, you said in the Dáil that the Labour Party finds it very difficult to support the EU Migration Pact. Mm. Yet you want to join a group in the European Parliament which has endorsed the pact and says that it will bring more solidarity and more reliable rules. So you're all over the place, aren't you?
No, not at all. And our issue is on the humanitarian point. But I mean, when it comes to the Dáil, it's going to come as one measure. And I'm still a member of the Oireachtas. And if I am still a member of the Oireachtas, I'll be voting against it. And there's a number of NGOs who came to our Justice Committee briefing about it, Irish Refugee Council, Medicine Sans Frontières also have difficulties with it. But just can I just make one point though about immigration, because I think this is an imbalance.
I want to ask you about your position and your party's position because your own party's documentation on the Labour Party website talks about the pact reforming the EU's migration laws and says that the Labour Party will work with its sister parties to achieve a legal framework on migration.
We believe there should be a EU migration pact. We don't believe this is the one that's workable on the humanitarian basis.
The decision has been made on this.
Well, no, hold on. It hasn't passed through the Oireachtas yet. And of a course, of the next 5 years, I would want to do as an MEP is to reform it and improve it and make it more humanitarian. On the immigration question, though, just because I do feel the questions that aren't being asked of candidates are imbalanced. We're talking about immigration like it's a problem, and obviously the system that
we have.
You just interrupted me.
See, this is the problem. No, you don't know it's a problem. How are you going to ever deal with it for the next 5 years if you don't realise it's a problem?
I feel quite strongly. So Justin, let me just finish my point because I was interrupted there. The imbalance here is that we're not talking about the poison of anti-immigrant sentiment, which is a major feature of this campaign. And we have had, hold on, Justin, you have to let me finish this, because all of these conversations are having and these debates are completely imbalanced. What we have in Ireland over the last number of years are 23 accommodation centres being set alight. We have had assaults on Gardaí. We have had intimidation of politicians. We've had protests which are quite intimidating. We have issues of a rising of poison of racism in this society. All right, and some people in the political system are pandering to that. And I think this conversation means an awful lot more balance.
Have you, though,
because
not,
the
have
rise,
you,
the
have
rise
you
of
also,
hold on, hold on.
But that's
Justin,
a way of silencing
the No, it's not. The rise of the far right, which has been pandered by you, and which has been also being entertained by the right.
You are not entertained.
By the likes of Sinn Féin is a major issue that the Labour Party have in this election, and it's one that we are determined to stand up against.
Have you not? You absolutely are.
What part do you disagree with about a fair system?
No.
An efficient system.
I can give you a number of instances of how Sinn Féin have moved to the right in immigration deliberately to try and target and pander to anti-immigrant sentiment.
Nonsense.
Absolutely. You're now against hate crime legislation. Whereas
last
year you were in favour of it.
Hold on.
Why have you changed your position on hate crime?
Common sense and common decency.
Why have you changed your position on hate crime?
Haven't you also, though, exploited the situation? I saw you down around Mound Street making videos, walking among the tents that were down there.
In order to highlight a humanitarian crisis on our streets.
Yeah, but isn't that also exploiting the situation for your own political gain as well?
That's what politicians do in trying to encourage a humanitarian response.
But you, Aon,
and it was actually successful. There was an issue on Mound Street, which I tried to highlight from a humanitarian point of view, because it was the government did.
Oh, no, and you didn't by standing there and telling the government in the dark that they couldn't even debate the issue.
Well, it happened as a result of my and others' interventions.
I want to bring in Barry Andrews. Barry Andrews,
any chance I could comment on immigration?
Yes, I'll come to you in a second. Barry Andrews, you used to be the chief executive of the charity Goal. Now, Goal says about the EU Migration Pact that it will exacerbate the ongoing humanitarian crisis for millions who are forced to leave their homes, particularly for vulnerable women and children who bravely seek safety in Europe. Are they wrong?
Well, I was part of the negotiation of the Migration and Asylum Pact. I saw how difficult it was to get all of the parties, including the parties, the Socialists and Democrats, to the table to agree the whole suite of measures, which is extremely extensive, to get all of the 27 member state governments to agree to the Migration and Asylum Pact. I was part of that negotiation in the Renew Europe group. So I support the Migration and Asylum Pact. There are parts of it, as it is for everybody, that make me uncomfortable, I believe are vulnerable to legal challenge. But overall, we need an EU-based framework, because it's very, very clear from the British experience that going it alone simply doesn't work. So this argument about sovereignty is a Tory argument. And what Niall is talking about is exactly the type of levers that the Tory party have reached for in order to undermine migration. They had 1.2 million migrants come into the UK in 2023. It's a totally failed policy.
I do have a right to reply to what he said.
But I want to talk about the language you used today.
Barry has no problem, and his government has no problem, using language like right wing to refer to people they don't agree with on a regular basis.
Right wing,
Niall. You said that I shouldn't be using the language that I use when I'm talking about facts.
That was the last program. Let's just stick to today's program. I made a statement about a fact that you weren't happy with.
All right, Barry Andrews, when the organisation which you led before, Goal, says that this pact will intensify border controls and jeopardise the protection of vulnerable people, do you not listen to what they have to say, the charity which you used to lead?
There are objections to this from NGOs. There are objections to this from the far right, and I'm not saying you're far right, Niall. There are objections from all sides, but the majority was hard fought. It has taken an awful long time to get the position we are in. And let me tell you that in the next European Parliament, any chance of a progressive measure is zero, because there will be a much more right-wing Parliament, a much more right-wing Commission, a much more right-wing European Council. So this isn't perfect. But without a European framework, the idea of going it alone, people who are opposing the Migration and Asylum Pact are implicitly supporting the status quo.
Sinead Gibney, on your own website, you don't make any mention
mention of what your policy is in relation to migration, despite it being one of the dominant issues in this campaign. Do you support?
It's up there on our European manifesto now.
It's not on your own website. Do you support a migration pact which involves the detention of children at European borders, the fingerprinting and digital tracking of migrants across the EU?
No, I don't. And by the way, I do link to our Social Democrat website from my own website where all of this information is housed. We do not support the EU Immigration and Asylum Pact. And I find it hard to understand. I mean, Barry talks about how he was involved in the negotiation. Just because it was a difficult negotiation, just because it was hard fought, doesn't mean that Ireland had to opt into all of it. And we shouldn't have opted into all of it. We should also have a Dáil vote, which allows the Dáil and the Oireachtas and the represented members to vote on each component of it one by one, and that is not being facilitated by our government.
You're on the same side as the far right then, aren't you?
No, because I do not have issues around the sovereignty. I do believe we need solidarity, and we would absolutely opt into the solidarity measures, the data sharing measures, which I believe are important. And I don't believe that Ireland needs to go it alone. I think Brexit has proved that that is wrong. But what I do have an issue with is the border procedures and the potential humanitarian impacts. I mean, Niall is using the term illegal migration. It is not only legal to migrate. It is a human right to claim asylum, and that human right is hugely under threat.
You try to go to America without a visa, see how long you last.
And that is something that I have a major concern about, as someone who has worked in this area in depth. And it is hugely problematic. We don't know what's going to happen in those de facto detention centres. Are children going to have access to education, for example? It's going to create a legal fiction where people are in Europe, but not in Europe as migrants. So we have major issues with the Migration Pact, which are clearly set out.
Barry Andrews, just to pick up on that, is it possible that under this pact that we could have facilities set up in this country which could detain asylum seekers who are subject to this fast-tracking and screening and checking?
Detention is already part of the International Protection Act 2015.
We don't detain people in this country.
The possibility to detain somebody under the International Protection Act is already part of the law. The government has said if this comes in, it will be a matter for the government to transpose it into Irish law. And the likelihood is that they would repeat the conditions under which detention operates under the International Protection Act. So, yes, I have some concerns about this, particularly at the border. I have concerns about the legal fiction of non-entry that Sinead made reference to in her comments. And we argued about all of these. And one of the concessions we got was to ensure that there would be safeguards for human rights at the border for people who are detained under the Asylum Procedure Regulation. So,
but
I mean, there are lots of very
serious
issues about it.
There
are 10,000 pages in this legislation. So it is
a serious concern. Do we not have a duty to do that? To protect our borders in this country. When we have somebody like a man who was in prison...
What do you mean protect the citizens of this country?
Let me give you an example. We have a man in prison...
What do you mean by protecting the citizens of this country?
Please, let me just finish. We have a man in prison
in Cork at the
moment who has 27 different identities.
I have to pull you up on that.
There's no correlation. You asked me the question just to say there is no correlation whatsoever between crime and immigration.
Absolutely.
And in fact, the Garda... I think your
talking
is more of your dog whistle language, which is undermining public confidence.
When you don't know who somebody is...
Sorry, nobody can hear anything right now.
Okay, we have a duty to protect
somebody can't use
an incendiary
remark about protecting.
We have a duty to protect our borders.
No, you didn't say that. No, you said.
That's not what you said.
Let Leon make his point.
You said we have a duty to protect our people. What does that mean?
Yes, we have a duty to protect the people and the citizens of this country.
Why?
That is the job of the government.
From what?
From nefarious people who may want to come into our country.
Really?
Do you believe everybody who comes into this country is a wonderful person?
I'm full of the joys of spring. Okay, what about the
people?
This is the problem.
You've interviewed nefarious people.
There are many people.
And you know you are.
I'm not.
Yes, you absolutely are.
No, I'm not.
You just said nefarious.
There are nefarious people coming to this country.
No, I'm absolutely not.
You say there are nefarious people coming into this country, right? Well, the experience of the Gardaí, according to a report last week, is that the criminality is linked with the right-wing groups that are protesting against asylum seekers.
I never mentioned criminality.
And accommodation.
I never mentioned criminality.
Well, what does nefarious mean?
Okay.
What does nefarious mean then? Sorry, if you're not talking about...
I just gave you one example.
Can you explain
I just gave you one example.
Are they setting fire to things?
Okay, are you finished?
Are they setting fire to things?
Who?
These nefarious people.
I don't agree with people setting fire to anything.
That's excellent. That's very refreshing to hear you say.
Aren't you?
No, I'm not. I'm talking about genuine fear.
I'm absolutely against anybody who breaks the law, right? Anybody. Be they Irish or be they from another country in the world.
Okay. Intimidating people.
Oh, we need to have one voice.
Intimidating Gardaí. And you are.
Have I personally intimidated anybody? You're actually trying to intimidate me now. It's not working
right now.
Because see, people like you, I've been listening to people like you all my life.
Anti-immigration,
all my life.
Whipped up by people like you.
Sinead, you wanted to come in.
Christine?
Yeah, please, because there are 30,000 people in the IPAS system, including 8,000 children. There are 5.5 million people in our population. That means that there are 0.55% who are international protection applicants. It is not appropriate that Niall comes on here and scaremongers in the way he is, which is just creating fuel. It's putting fuel on the fire of an issue that has been created by government.
Everybody, let her make her point now, please. I'll bring you back in.
The government have mishandled this immigration system, and they have opened the doors for people to come in and create these absolute horrendous narratives around. The problem is not people coming to our shores. The problem is how this management of that system has been handled by the government. Net inward migration into this country is a positive thing, whether it's through economic migration or through international protection. And we have to support it, and we have to provide a humane and dignified system for it. And all of these things that are happening, the GNIB activities, for example, this is the government pandering to a voter base in the run-up to an election.
Absolutely.
It is tinkering around the edges, and it is saying, you know, instead of all of the energy that goes into all of those things, they should be just working on getting a better system in place, getting the reception centres up.
They're pandering to the biggest issue in the country that they never pandered to before.
Entirely on the speed of the application process, but nobody is talking about the fact that we don't have a gender-specific accommodation system. We have a very poor system for vulnerability assessments. We are not meeting the basic needs of people when they come here seeking asylum. That is the crisis. That is the humanitarian crisis, and we need to address this nonsense coming from you.
The nonsense coming from you is all are welcome, really, isn't it?
Lynn Boylan, is there anything you would disagree with in what Sinead is saying there?
No, we've been calling for a long time to move away from the developer-led model where you have individuals who've made very big amounts of money out of the backs of people seeking asylum in this country.
Does that mean then
we need to have centres built that are human rights compliant?
And does that mean then when those centres are built that Sinn Féin members and supporters, that you'll be asking your supporters not to object to those centres?
What you need to do is treat communities with respect in the same way you need to treat asylum seekers with respect. They're not mutually exclusive. Everybody needs to be treated with respect. And the way that this government has managed the crisis at the moment is not treating communities with respect. Nobody gets a veto, but communities deserve to be spoken to, not in the manner in which the government have run it, which is not treating communities with respect.
I know, I want to move on to a separate subject, and I'll bring you in now, Eoin O'Riordan. Okay. I want to talk about the subject of EU defence and neutrality. If Russia were to win the war in Ukraine and is positioned on the borders of the EU, does Ireland's neutrality become untenable?
No, I don't believe that we need to change our position. I think we have a position of morality that is one that is, respected internationally. I think we have a unique voice in international affairs because of our neutrality. I don't believe that government should be playing around with the triple lock. But let's be clear here, and other people on the left are not of the same voice as I am on this, that Russia have to lose. Ukraine have to win, because otherwise what will happen is that Russia...
That may be magical thinking.
No, it's not magical thinking. It doesn't need to be.
Nobody wins wars.
Jesus Christ. Niall, do you ever listen to anybody yourself?
Yeah. Well, you should try doing it
too. In terms of what we have concerns about is the nature in which Ursula von der Leyen, for example, who's aligned to Fine Gael, her militaristic language, her support of Israel unwavering, the fact that she wants an EU defence commissioner. And I also would be worried.
But your own grouping supports
the defence commissioner. No, hold on. It's not in the S&D manifesto.
It is. Your party supports the defence commissioner and the European Defence Fund.
It is not.
That is a reality. You have to be accountable for your group.
It's not in the S&D manifesto. It is not.
It is not.
Have you read the S&D manifesto?
Your party supports the European Defence Union.
Barry,
I haven't read the S&D manifesto.
Well, clearly you haven't, because you don't know what you're talking about.
The European Defence Union and the Commissioner.
So what we're trying to do in terms of the Labour Party's position in this election is that the S&D group... I'm not the guy who's arguing for the triple lock to be changed.
Yeah, I'm arguing for the triple lock to be changed.
Okay, that wasn't your position in the election 2020.
You've changed your position on the European Defence Union.
I think, Justin, to answer your question, what we need in the next 5 years is a European Parliament which is not just dominated by immigration and military discussions and defence. There are any amount of funds there that could be utilised for Ireland to talk about, housing to talk about.
Okay.
And hold on, no. See, if
Ukraine loses the war, that is what's going to dominate, right?
It's going to dominate.
And is it tenable for Ireland then to sit, to maintain its neutrality if there's a war on the doorstep of the EU?
There are any amounts of ways that Ireland can assist, including, for example, the fact that we have been... Hold on a second, let me just finish my sentence. The fact that we have been forefront in accepting Ukrainian refugees into this country and of housing them and of helping them until recently in election time when government supported by Sinn Féin decided to cut their welfare supports.
But Barry Andrews, we do need to look at the what-ifs in this situation, because Ukraine is running out of manpower to fight this war. Can Ireland continue to remain neutral if war becomes a real threat to a European Union member?
We had a consultative forum last summer, which is a year and a half after the invasion by Russia into Ukraine, and the consultative forum concluded that there's absolutely no appetite for ending our military neutrality, and that was fully accepted by the government. And anybody who brings that up, that there's a danger of our military neutrality being lost, is being outright dishonest. We've had for 50 years warnings from the left that we're all going to be conscripted, we're all going to go down into an EU army, and nothing could be further from the truth. The truth, the reality, however, is that Ukraine has changed the security situation in Europe. Lots of EU countries have changed their security and defence policy, and Ireland has to invest a lot more in our security and defence. I mean, the report in this morning, Sunday Times, about Russian involvement with one MEP is absolutely extraordinary.
We're not going to go on that because that person is not here around this table.
So we're going to move on. Okay.
We are going to hear what that person said later in the program. So I'm going to leave it at that.
So, for fairness, I just want to conclude by saying that unfortunately the left in Ireland has fully underestimated Putin for over a decade. He will not stop at Ukraine. He will give him an inch and we will take a mile. So we have to draw a line in the sand and defend European security.
Lynn Boylan, you're opposed to an increase in the EU's defence budget. Would your position change if Russia won the war in Ukraine, or would Sinn Féin hold the line and resist any increase in EU defence spending at that point?
What we need to see with both the conflict in Ukraine and the conflict in the Gaza Strip and Palestine is peace processes and ceasefires. And that's what knowing in terms of increasing the EU budget for more militarisation, that does not solve the problem.
Even if Ukraine is defeated.
It is never something. We need a peace process, and that's where the focus of attention should be on, is around negotiating a peace process.
And negotiate with Putin.
We need to negotiate a peace process. But it is rich for Barry Andrews to talk about protecting Irish neutrality. Do you mean when we know that Micheál Martin only this week in the Oireachtas Committee said that he only draws the line at joining NATO and he doesn't see anything else being a threat to our military neutrality? So, do you know, I mean, NATO is the red line for Micheál Martin.
Any military alliance is off the table. You know you're being dishonest about that. There's no threat to Irish military neutrality.
Four years ago, you said the triple lock wasn't what threat. I have not interrupted one of them. Okay. But we were told the Nice Treaty, the Lisbon Treaty, the triple lock was a guarantee given to the Irish people. Why would you trust anything that Fianna Fáil says in terms of our neutrality when they were only a few years ago supportive of the triple lock?
All right, let Barry respond briefly.
So the UN Security Council enjoys a veto over the deployment of Irish troops. The UN Security Council is currently completely dysfunctional. There hasn't been a peacekeeping mission for 10 years. That's at the heart of the deployment of Irish military forces. So I believe that the Irish government should be mature and confident enough to make those decisions without having to go for a permission slip from Beijing or from Moscow.
Sinead Gibney, do you agree with Barry that Russia shouldn't have a veto over where Ireland sends its peacekeepers?
I agree. I do not think that the government has any mandate to question the triple lock right now. We know that there's going to be another election within the next 12 months, so if they feel that strongly about it, that's what they should be running their general election ticket on, not putting it out here now. So absolutely, I don't agree with that.
With Vladimir Putin advancing on the EU's doorstep, isn't there a good case now for the EU to spend more on defence?
I think, first and foremost, just to put it on the record, neutrality is absolutely precious and we need to safeguard that and our opt-outs for any EU common defence policy. And I believe that's the situation which we should maintain, is that we as a country have a particular role to play say in advancing peace, and other EU countries have control over their military budgets, but we do not support that EU common defence policy which will threaten Ireland's neutrality.
All right, Niall Boylan, do you think Ireland's neutrality would still be tenable if Russia were to win the war in Ukraine?
Firstly, I want to just say in relation to the triple lock, because I think it's really important.
Can you answer the question I asked? Sorry, you don't get to answer other questions, just the one I asked.
Okay, sorry, just repeat the question.
Do you think Ireland's neutrality would still be tenable if Russia was to win the war in Ukraine?
You've used the word win, and Aon used it, so did Regina Doherty and Claire Daly there in 1961 News. I don't believe there's ever any winners in wars. Ironically, I find myself agreeing with Sinn Féin in this particular situation that I do believe the only way a war will ever end, and wars only end, they don't get won, they only end, is by talks. We have a classic example of that, of course, between Ireland and Northern Ireland.
That's
at the moment.
Appeasement.
And by the way, Barry, just to go back to what you said, I don't trust the government. Because, of course, Fine Gael recently...
Can you stick with this point? Because...
Well, that's the point. That's the answer I've given you. I don't believe that we should ever... I would never be in agreement with funding war. Fund humanitarian the humanitarian aid, absolutely. Okay. And that's the point I wanted to come to. Your own leader, Micheál Martin, when it was pointed out by the Defence Forces that they were using the money to train people with weapons, said that he didn't believe that rifle training was humanitarian.
We're not politically neutral.
Nonsense.
I stood in a trench
also,
in...
Also, Leo Varadkar toyed with the idea of joining NATO. Let me finish. Leo Varadkar's also toyed around with the idea of joining NATO. And poll after poll in this country has said the Irish people want Ireland to remain neutral.
All right, I want to move to a few final questions. Sinead Gibney, the Social Democrats has never had a presence in Europe. You're a new party, you're a brand new candidate. Shouldn't voters go for an experienced voice rather than a novice?
I think what people are, and I am clearly hearing this on the doorstep, people are frustrated, people are angry, they want change, and they want change that they can trust. I don't think they want experienced politicians. I think they want people who have experienced politics. And I am somebody who has a track record of senior leadership in both the public and private sector, including as Chief Commissioner of the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission, where I have learned a huge amount about the European institutions, about how they all work, and about the real issues facing people in Ireland today, about human rights and equality issues, which I would bring to champion there. I have all of the skills requisite, so I do not believe that just because you're an incumbent you're more qualified to do the job. Quite the opposite.
Niall Boylan, you posted a tweet in August 2022 criticising the national pay deal at the time, and you said that it would bring the salary of a TD up to €108,000. You said that this would continue the disconnect between TDs who make the rules and struggling citizens.
Yep.
If you're elected to the European Parliament, the salary is €121,000.
It is quite good.
Will you be taking that full salary, or do you feel it would create a disconnect between you and...
I will be taking that full salary, because I've been...
You will be taking it?
Of course, yes. Because hold on for a second. I was talking about politicians at the time, working as a radio broadcaster who was on a reasonably good salary. I've just given up a 30-year career where I was on a reasonably good salary.
And you don't feel
so
it would take...
What would you want me to do? You want me to take a job where
I'm putting
I
your words
less
back
money?
To you. Do you feel do you feel it would create a disconnect between you and between you and struggling citizens? Those were your words when you posted that tweet.
Okay, I'll give you an answer to that question. I've been listening to struggling citizens for 30 years. 252,000 callers in 30 years. I know exactly how those struggling citizens feel, and they feel they're not being listened to by the government. Mm. And at the time I posted that tweet, of course, that tweet would have been a question on the show. Just like you would ask questions. The questions you ask to all of us on the show, are they your personal views? I believe they're not.
You should take less?
I don't think I should take less. No, why would I take less than anybody else?
Lynn Boylan, in February, you welcomed as great news the passing of the EU's nature restoration law, even though your party voted against it. Is that another Sinn Féin flip-flop?
Not at all. We believe that biodiversity is in crisis. I suppose for Chris McManus's perspective is he's coming from a point of view where we're 4.5 years into government. There's no Just Transition Commission and there's no funding to provide for farmers to do their part in nature restoration.
Would you have voted for nature restoration?
Well, it would have been a part of a negotiation. That's what parties do. Mm-hmm. You argue these things out, but we're all in agreement there's a biodiversity crisis that needs fixing. It also needs funding. And this government can't be trusted on that because...
Yeah, but even where's the trust for you? You say great news, but we vote against it.
Even with the Greens in government, we haven't got a Just Transition Commission, and the pilot project of the Just Transition, only 4 out of the 44 projects actually delivered for workers.
All right. Éanna Reardon, the Labour Party, doing poorly in the opinion polls, facing into probably its most difficult general election in decades. Is your decision to run for the European Parliament because you want to get out before the general election?
No. I got 10% in the last poll last Saturday in the Irish Times. I look at the way Dublin is being mismanaged by this government. It is being inspired by the riot that took place on the 23rd of November last year, which I saw the city being beaten up in front of my eyes. I do feel that we need more political leadership in Dublin. I've been, you know, in Dublin politics for 20 years, and I want to bring...
You're not trying to get out before the general election?
Absolutely not.
All right.
And I feel strongly about Dublin. That's why I'm running. That's okay. why my slogan is for the love of Dublin.
All right. Barry Andrews, final word. We saw a very public row between your colleague Niall Blaney and your party leader Micheál Martin on Friday. Niall Blaney says your party is in panic mode. Are the wheels coming off the Fianna Fáil Euro campaign?
Not at all. There's a natural competitive dynamic between candidates of the same party in multi-seat constituencies. That's a fact of Irish life going back decades. I experienced it myself, and it can generate, in fact, more support for a party as it generates more competitive dynamics. So it's not something we're worried about. We're presenting a very positive agenda to the Irish people, and we're getting a very good hearing.
All right. Thank you all very much for coming in to us today. Barry Andrews from Fianna Fáil, Lynn Boylan from Sinn Féin, Niall Boylan from Independent Ireland, Sinead Gibney from the Social Democrats, and Eoghan Reardon from the Labour Party. A full list of candidates can be found on the RTE website, and we'll hear more from our political panel and from some of the other candidates after this break.